Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
and GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Today, once again, we're very delighted to have with us an alien hunter, as he calls himself, Dr. Seth Shostak, a senior astronomer at the famous SETI Institute in Mountain View, California. And so today we're going to be talking about, believe it or not, talking to aliens in outer space. Do they exist? If they exist, how do we communicate with them? So we'll be talking about the world of science and how scientists view the question of intelligent life in the universe. And if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website, mkaku.org. And on Facebook, we have 4.5 million fans on Facebook. And my latest book, The God Equation, The Quest for a Theory of Everything, I'm proud to say last month, hit the New York Times bestseller list, the Amazon bestseller list, and the independent bookstores bestseller list. And it's about, well, what I do for a living. That is, as a hobby, I like to engage the public. But why does the city of New York pay my paycheck? To work on something called string theory. You see, for thousands of years, philosophers, scientists have wondered, is there a unifying theme, a paradigm, a principle that you can unite this vast universe of ours, perhaps into a single equation? And back 2,000 years ago, the great geometer Pythagoras said, it's music. Music is the only paradigm rich enough to explain the stars, the planets, the motions of objects all around us. It's music. Well, unfortunately, the Roman Empire fell apart, and for 1,000 years, there was darkness, superstition, magic. But recently, we actually do have a candidate for this God equation. Remember that Einstein spent the last 30 years of his life chasing after a theory of everything, and he failed. But now we're going back 2,000 years to the work of Pythagoras. When Pythagoras saw a lyre string, he said, the longer the string, the lower the note. And then he saw a blacksmith's shop, and he realized that the longer the sword, the lower the vibration of that sword. And he said, aha, it's mathematics, the mathematics of music that can explain the universe. Well, today we know that the universe is mainly made of atoms, but what are these atoms? Why do we have so many subatomic particles when we smash atoms apart? Well, we think they're nothing but vibrations on a tiny rubber band. Think of a tiny rubber band. How many frequencies can you make on a rubber band? Infinite number. Well, one set of vibrations you could call an electron. Another vibration you could call a neutrino. Another vibration you would call a quark. In fact, you can categorize all these vibrations using something called string theory. And in string theory, physics is nothing but the laws of harmony. The laws of harmony on vibrating strings. We know that chemistry can be expressed as the melodies you can write on vibrating strings. The universe is a symphony of strings, and the mind of God that Albert Einstein wrote eloquently about for the last 30 years of his life is cosmic music resonating through hyperspace. Well, speaking about hyperspace, today we're going to talk about, well, science fiction, what's out there in the universe, because if an advanced civilization, very advanced civilization, maybe 100,000, a million years more advanced than us, if they do exist out there in the universe, maybe, just maybe, they'll be able to exploit string theory to create wormholes, gateways, pathways through higher dimensions, through parallel universes. We're talking about the multiverse idea, which is now one of the dominant theories in cosmology. Inflation theory is the only theory which so far has survived all experimental checks. And inflation theory says the Big Bang can happen over and over again, giving us a multiverse of universes. And who knows, maybe one day perhaps we'll make contact with one of these civilizations. Well, with us today is one of the world's leading authorities on that question, Dr. Seth Shostak. He is a senior astronomer at the SETI Institute in Mountain View, California. That's the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. He's the author of a book, Confessions of an Alien Hunter, A Scientist's Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. He got his bachelor's at Princeton University, PhD at Caltech, and has written hundreds of articles both in the scientific literature and in the popular press. So, Seth, glad you could be on Science Fantastic once again.
It's fantastic to speak with you again, Michio.
Okay, well, first question for you is, go back to when you were a kid, a youth. What inspired you to become a scientist and especially a physicist?
Well, I think it was, you know, it happened at about the age of eight. I think that that's an age when most kids get interested in something. And I was interested in, well, lots of things, electronics and, you know, building stuff. But I was particularly interested in astronomy because, you know, it seemed to explain a lot of things. And that's, of course, true with physics. Physics, in a way, explains astronomy. But I didn't realize that at the time. It just seemed like a very interesting thing. Something that was undoubtedly augmented by the fact that every weekend my parents would drive me to the local movie theater and I'd watch another mutant creature from outer space take on humans.
And what then steered you in the direction of becoming an alien hunter, that is, using the laws of physics to see whether there's anyone out there in the universe?
Yeah, I think it did. I mean, I think most people, you know, like to work in a field that they found interesting when they were very young. I don't think that your interests change that much. If you were interested in something at age 10, you'd be interested in it at age 50, whatever. So, yeah, I mean, it was somewhat accidental. I was working in the field of astronomy, studying galaxies, seeing how fast they spin, stuff like that, which in the end turned out to be an important thing. But at some point, I suggested that maybe we could use these radio telescopes to try and find ET. That was not a new idea with me, of course. It had already been done by some people. But I just thought it was interesting to see if we could actually find the kind of aliens I saw on the silver screen every weekend.
Now, when we think of a professor, we think of someone who's erudite, learned, cautious about making outlandish statements. However, when we talk about aliens, sometimes you get the giggle factor. People roll their eyes up into the heavens and start to giggle and laugh. Do you encounter this, or do you think that, well, that's just part of the game?
Well, I do occasionally encounter it, but not very often. I think the perception is that it's, you know, more often a suggestion, namely that there might be aliens out there, a suggestion that does indeed cause people to, you know, kind of dismiss it immediately, particularly if you go a little farther and say, not only do I think they're up there, but we're going to try and find out by doing an experiment. But honestly, I think surveys show this, too, by the way, that, you know, the majority of people, certainly around 80%, believe that aliens exist. So the giggle factor, I think people laugh at the giggle factor because it's called the giggle factor now, and I don't know that so many of them dismiss the whole field of investigation simply because, you know, well, aliens, that's just something in the movies or on TV.
Okay, well, let's try to put some science and numbers on this whole question. Let's talk about Drake's equation, because that, of course, is one of the touchstones by which all of us could then begin to seriously look at the possibility of aliens in outer space. So what is Drake's... Oh, let's take a short commercial break. But after the break, we're going to try to calculate how many alien civilizations are there in our backyard in the Milky Way galaxy. With the Kepler satellite, we'll be able to get a census of the Milky Way galaxy as to how many Earth-like planets are out there. Anyway, this is Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Our special guest is Dr. Seth Shostak. You've probably seen him on TV talking about aliens in outer space. So stay tuned as we talk about how to find an extraterrestrial civilization in our backyard. Stay tuned.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We know the global elites, the 1%, have hijacked and subverted the U.S. culture, economy, and government. The battle to take back America begins with the Rise USA, the Resurrection Tour. Thousands of patriots are on the march to Little Rock, Shreveport, and three stops in Texas, plus many other stops on the Arise USA Tour. 50 states, 84 stops, 111 days. The Arise USA Tour will unite the 99% of we the people that stand against the 1% globalist elites and their tyranny. The Arise USA Tour is free, with hundreds of speakers and freedom fighters, including Constitutional Sheriff Richard Mack, the Patriot Street Fighter Scott McKay, human rights attorney Lee Dundas, and many more. For tour info and a list of speakers, go to AriseUSA.com. Join the thousands that have donated over $1 million to Arise USA Tour. To donate or for the tour stop nearest you, go to AriseUSA.com. That's AriseUSA.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Dr. Seth Shostak, Senior Astronomer at the SETI Institute in Mountain View, California. That's a search for extraterrestrial intelligence. And so we're going to talk about, well, the probability that one day perhaps we'll meet a civilization in outer space that's not human. Well, let's start with Drake's equation because, you know, we're scientists. We want to quantify things rather than simply look at the universe and be paralyzed. So what is Drake's equation? And, of course, it's been modified over the last several decades. So what is Drake's equation?
Well, it came from a guy by the name of Drake, actually, Frank Drake. And Frank Drake is still actually pretty active in the field of SETI. But he had done the first modern SETI experiment. He used an antenna at a radio observatory in West Virginia in 1960. And, you know, it was a very modest experiment. They didn't build any special equipment. They just adapted some equipment that was already at the observatory. Maybe that was to avoid getting the giggle factor on this experiment, actually. But in any case, it became a very popular news item that there was this guy, Frank Drake, who was trying to find radio signals that aliens might be broadcasting. So people at the National Science Foundation asked Dr. Drake, can you have a meeting, a professional meeting, to discuss whether this is a worthwhile thing to do or is it just nonsense? And he had that meeting in 1961. There were about a dozen scientists present. One of them actually won the Nobel Prize during the meeting. That was fairly exciting. But as an agenda for that meeting, Frank Drake cooked up this equation that, you know, it just tries to estimate how many societies are out there right now sending signals we could pick up. You know, and if that number is large, then it pays to try and find the signals. And if that number is very, very small, then probably you ought to think about doing something else for a living.
Okay, and so he made an estimate. So what are some of the factors involved, and how have these factors changed now that we have the Kepler satellite, test satellite, and the Webb telescope to be shot into outer space? What are the different factors in the Drake's equation?
Well, there are 7 factors in the Drake equation. You multiply them all together, and you get this number N, which is the number of societies out there that are broadcasting. But the logic of the equation is very simple. It's the same as the logic of trying to figure out, well, how many people are attending, I don't know, Columbia University? Total number of students, right? And you could, you know, do that by finding out, well, what is the admission rate? How many freshmen are admitted every year? And then multiply that by the number of years, say 4, that they stay there before they graduate and go get a job somewhere. So that's the logic of the equation. So there, as they say, 7 terms, but the first 6 are just to estimate how many new societies are born in the Milky Way galaxy every year that have the ability to build radio transmitters, for example, get on the air so you could hear them. And then you multiply that by a factor called L, which is just the lifetime that they, you know, keep their transmitter working, and that would give you the number of transmitting civilizations. So the first, you know, 6 terms are things like, well, how many stars are born every year, and what fraction of those have planets, and what fraction of those planets produce life, and how many of them develop, you know, Pythagoras and other scientists so that you can eventually develop technology to broadcast, and so forth. And then L is just how many years they stay on the air. So that's the logic of the equation.
Okay, and so after you put in all these factors, what number do you get? Ta-da! I mean, what's the final equation, and what's the final number you get with reasonable estimates as to how many stars are there, how many stars have planets, how many planets have oceans, blah, blah, blah. What's a reasonable estimate?
Yeah, well, I hate to admit this, Michio, but you can get essentially any number you want. I mean, because so many of these factors are still unknown. It's been 60 years since the Drake equation was, you know, written down, and we still don't know many of the factors. And because you're just multiplying this whole string of factors, if there are 1 or 2 or 3, and there are at least 3 or 4, that you really don't have any idea what their value is, such as what fraction of planets that develop life will produce life that, you know, has clever Greeks or, you know, clever people anywhere that can develop science. I mean, we have no idea. The only example we have is here on Earth. So the number that comes out the bottom is pretty much what you have baked into the factors. So, you know, it isn't terribly useful in that sense. But, you know, in the last 60 years, we have nailed down at least one more factor, and that is what fraction of stars have planets. And, you know, we now know that percentage is essentially 100%. You know, you find planets around every star that you look, or almost every star you look. So at least we know that planets are common, and that, in a sense, is the only observational novelty in the last 60 years for the Drake equation.
Well, given the fact that on average, every star we see at night has a planet going around it, and a certain fraction, who knows, maybe 20% or so, have Earth-like planets going around them, don't you get a number that says that there could be billions of planets like Earth?
You could. I mean, the number of planets in the Milky Way galaxy is roughly a trillion with a T. I mean, it's a lot. It's 1,000 billion, whatever. And you've got trillions of other galaxies, each with a trillion planets. So the number of planets is, as they say, astronomical. That's not the limiting problem or the limiting factor. The limiting factor is actually not the astronomy. There are plenty of planets, and while most of them might be bad, like Neptune, as it is for life, I mean, you can't believe they're all bad. If you buy a trillion lottery tickets, they're not all bad. Some of them are winners. So that's actually not the problem. The problem is I give you a million or a billion or a trillion planets that are kind of like the Earth with water and atmospheres and, all that stuff. What fraction of them will ever produce an intelligent species? And we really have no idea. I mean, you think, it must be one. It must be 100% because look at what happened here. But, you have to keep in mind, maybe that rock that wiped out the dinosaurs and, two-thirds of everything else. What if it had arrived 20 minutes later? It would have missed the Earth, and the dinosaurs would still be romping through Central Park.
Okay, now let's talk about the SETI project. What do you guys do when you try to hunt for civilizations in outer space? How is it done?
Yeah, the traditional way is to do exactly what Frank Drake did in 1960, and that's to use big antennas. They're called radio telescopes by, astronomers. And you just point them at some nearby stars, which you presume have planets, and in many cases you know they have planets, and, just sort of tune as much of the radio dial as you can and see if you pick up any signals. Straightforward, okay? It doesn't require going anywhere. You can't go meet them in space or anything like that, not with our technology, but at least you could pick up signals that would tell you that there's somebody out there. Recently, I think there's more attention being paid, and I think justifiably, to another approach, which is to say, okay, maybe there are a million societies in the Milky Way. Frank Drake thinks there are at least 10,000. Fine. Let's just assume that there are a lot of them. Some of them, as you mentioned at the top of the show, will be way ahead of us technologically. So they might be doing something really dramatic, like rearranging stars in their neighborhood or building giant, what are called Dyson spheres around their solar systems. I mean, they might be doing stuff that you could actually find with an ordinary mirror and lens telescope, and look for that. And so it's kind of, whatever people think is a promising approach.
Okay, so after all this money, after all these radio telescopes, what have we found? Have we found anything that even resembles a signal from an extraterrestrial civilization, or is there simply silence out there? What have we found after all these decades?
Well, it's certainly not silence. I remember sitting at the telescope down in Puerto Rico, the Arecibo antenna, which is 1,000 feet across, and obviously a very sensitive telescope. Unfortunately, it collapsed a couple of months ago. But when we were using that to, scrutinize nearby stars, I saw a signal coming in approximately every 10 seconds. No lack of signals, but, of course, those signals are all being produced by humans. So it's not so interesting. I mean, telecommunications satellites or radar setups on the island, all that kind of stuff was making noise that looked just like the kind of signal we're hunting. So you have to be able to, filter all that out, and we did. Is there anything left when you do that? Well, the easy answer is no, but it's not entirely no, because we just recently picked up a signal from the nearest star system that might be in.
Seth, let's take a short commercial break. But after the break, we're going to continue a discussion with Dr. Seth Shostak, senior astronomer at the SETI Institute. And we are talking about alien hunting as a branch of science. This is Dr. Michio Kaku for Science Fantastic. Stay tuned as we continue a discussion of what's out there. Are we alone in the universe? Stay tuned.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The Santa Clara County Sheriff's Office says the suspect in this week's mass shooting at a light rail yard in San Jose had a dozen guns and 20,000 rounds of ammunition at his home. According to police, he set his home on fire as he left for the shooting. On the morning, he opened fire at the San Jose light rail yard where he worked for 9 years. Sam Cassidy was scheduled to have a disciplinary hearing. Some of his co-workers had filed complaints that he had made racist comments. He also bragged in a threatening way to his co-workers about having firearms. Early on Wednesday morning, the 57-year-old showed up during a shift change heavily armed. They say he targeted certain people at the facility. He then turned the gun on himself. Investigators are still looking for a motive. This is USA Radio News. An Iowa jury found Mexican national Christian Rivera guilty of first-degree murder in the 2018 slaying of a college student, Molly Tibbetts. The jury delivered its verdict after less than 8 hours of deliberations. Tibbetts, 20, disappeared while running near her home in Brooklyn, Iowa. Investigators found the University of Iowa student's body more than a month later in a cornfield. An autopsy determined she died from multiple sharp force injuries. Prosecutors said Rivera led police to Tibbetts' body, but said two masked armed men forced him to drive them and Tibbetts to the rural area where they killed her. Investigators found Tibbetts' blood in the trunk of his car. Prosecutors said Rivera killed Tibbetts because she rejected his romantic advances. Defense attorneys instead suggested that Tibbetts' boyfriend, Dalton Jack, was really to blame for her murder. Rivera faces life in prison without the possibility of parole at his July 15th sentence hearing. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In this hour, we're talking about hunting for alien civilizations in outer space. But before we begin, let me say once again, thank you so much for supporting Science Fantastic. Because of you, the listeners out there, my latest book, The God Equation, sailed onto the New York Times bestseller list. And it's all about, well, trying to find a theory of everything. And everything includes even science fiction. Because Because if you do have a theory of everything, you have a theory of space and time, and you have the ability to probe bizarre solutions of Einstein's equations. You realize that Einstein's equations allow for time travel. These are called CTCs, closed time-like curves, and there's even a branch of theoretical physics devoted to looking at whether or not we can stabilize these time machines. That's right. Einstein himself realized that his equations allow for time travel, but, and this is the huge but, are they stable? Will they blow up? Will graviton corrections to the time machine explode the machine? Can you really go back into the past? Well, for that, you need a higher theory. Einstein's equations allow for time travel, but they do not allow you to calculate the stability of these time machines. What about quantum corrections? Graviton corrections to these time machines? This is what Stephen Hawking actually looked into. He was one of the first serious physicists to actually calculate what kinds of instabilities a time machine would have. Well, anyway, to find out more about this, get a copy of my latest book, now a New York Times bestseller, The God Equation. Well, with us today is Dr. Seth Shostak of the SETI Institute, graduate of Princeton University, PhD from Caltech, author of hundreds of articles both in the scientific literature and the popular press. His book is called Confessions of an Alien Hunter, A Scientist's Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. Well, when we last left off, we were talking about whether or not we have found any signal out there which indicates the presence of intelligent life. So tell us about that. You said that recently there was an interesting signal?
Yes, in the past couple of months, the group known as Breakthrough Listen, which is a group of people mostly, well, some of them are at the SETI Institute, but mostly at the University of California, Berkeley, across the bay from where I'm speaking to you here, they were using a radio telescope in Australia, the Parkes Radio Telescope, which is about, you know, a 4 or 5 hour drive west of Sydney, and they pointed it at the nearest other star to us in the sun. It's called Proxima Centauri, and its distance is a mere 4.3 light years from downtown New York. So that's a, you know, four light years isn't very far in astronomy, but it is very far for a rocket. If we wanted to send anybody to Proxima Centauri with NASA's fastest rocket, it would take 75,000 years, and people would object to eating peanuts the whole way. So, you know, we're not going to the stars, even to the nearest ones. But they pointed this antenna at this star, and they picked up a signal that looked pretty much like what you'd expect from a transmitter. Now, is it really ET, or have we been fooled again by, you know, our own activities? And they have been doing follow-up tests on that, and it looks like it's not for real, which is, of course, disappointing. It would be lovely to know that there were some aliens in the nearest other star system, even though, a priori, you might think, well, that's not terribly probable.
Now, you're on record as claiming that within, 20 years or so, we may actually make contact with an alien civilization. So let's take a short commercial break. And after the break, I'll ask you that question. Do you still hold to that idea that within a few decades, we will make contact with an alien civilization? Once again, this is Dr. Michio Kaku for Science Fantastic. Stay tuned as we talk to the author of Confessions of an Alien Hunter. Stay tuned.
Anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. This is a program that talks about the cutting edge of scientific issues. And with us today is Dr. Seth Shostak, Senior Astronomer at the SETI Institute. That's the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. And so the question is, what's out there? Now, you're on record as saying that, well, who knows for sure, but in a few decades, we will make contact with an alien civilization. Do you still hold to that?
Yeah, this is one of those cases where you should be careful what you wish for. I was giving a talk in Europe, actually, and it was there were a whole bunch of students in the audience, and they, of course, wanted to know, well, you guys have been looking for a while and haven't found anything. You know, are you ever going to find anything? And the real answer to that is we don't know, but you should at least try. But I, more as an offhand remark as anything else, I said, look, I'll bet you guys all a cup of coffee, a cup of Starbucks, I said, that we'll find something in the next 24 years, I guess it was. Now, that's been almost 10 years ago now. I made that statement. So I'm kind of saying that, well, around, 2035 or somewhere like that, we might find something. And you might ask, well, why did I do that other than to wake up the audience? The reason I did it is because of something known as Moore's Law, which just is basically an economic law of the Silicon Valley here, which says that every 2 years you can walk into your favorite computer shop and buy a machine at the same price as you paid for your other machine, the older one, and get twice as much compute power. That applies also to SETI experiments because so much of the experiment depends on computers. So I figured by the 2030s, more or less, we would have looked at about 1 million star systems, and it seemed to me that if you look at 1 million, you might get a hit. So that was the basis of it. I may have to buy a lot of coffee.
Okay. Well, we had one guest on Science Fantastic who believes in the METI project, that not only should we listen to radio broadcasts from civilizations in space, but we should advertise our existence and say, here we are, these are our coordinates, come and drop by and visit us and have some coffee. Now, some people, like the late Stephen Hawking, were very uncomfortable about this, because after all, what happened to the Aztecs when Montezuma thought that Cortez was a god, when actually Cortez was a bloodthirsty pirate who then collapsed the entire Aztec civilization? So what are your thoughts about whether or not we should advertise our existence rather than simply listen for signals from outer space?
Yeah, well, it has become a controversy of sorts, and it does depend on the argument that if you do broadcast, you might be endangering, you know, all of society. And maybe that's true to say that some societies out there are not, as Carl Sagan used to think, all peaceful because they're so advanced. I don't know that that makes you more peaceful or not. I mean, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But maybe you shouldn't take the risk of advertising, hey, here we are, because you don't know what's out there. Well, that sounds pretty logical, but in practice, it doesn't make any sense because, we've only had radio for about 100 years. Our most powerful transmitters, which are radar sets, the most powerful transmitters could produce a signal even at the distance of nearby stars that would be fairly easy to pick up by, you know, any advanced aliens. And so we're already broadcasting. And to say, well, we better not aim any antennas at the sky because we don't know what's out there, would kind of limit the future activities of humanity. I don't think it's a good idea. And besides, we've been transmitting for, you know, at least since the Second World War, signals that a really advanced society would have no trouble in finding. So we're already advertising our presence.
Okay, now other people say that radio, that's so passé. I mean, the aliens out there could be thousands of years more advanced than us. They could be part robotic, for example. They could perhaps have merged with artificial intelligence. They're super beings. And here we are thinking that they're just like us, primitive biological species using radio to communicate. Come on, give me a break. So what are your thoughts about people who say they were barking at the wrong tree, assuming that they're just like us from 1950, while even on the Earth, radio is falling out of disfavor in some certain sectors. People are going into the Internet, so on and so forth. So what are your thoughts about those people who say that we're barking up the wrong tree?
Well, I mean, all I can say is, yeah, you could be right, but give us another.
Okay. We have to take another short commercial break, but after the break, we'll try to answer that question, and also the big question, why don't they visit us? Okay, you're listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station, a website you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you could get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Our special guest today is Dr. Seth Shostak, senior astronomer at the SETI Institute, which is the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. So, Seth, what do you say to people who say that the aliens could be millions of years more advanced than us, and radio, that is so 20th century, and they could be part robotic, they could be quite different from us, but yet we always assume that they're just like us. So, what are your thoughts to those people who say they were barking up the wrong tree?
Right. Well, I have to admit that that's a possibility. It's always a possibility. I mean, there were suggestions even during the Victorian era that we should try to signal the, you know, the residents of Mars with big gas lamps and mirrors and things like that. And today that looks, you know, kind of quaint. But the people that were suggesting it were the top physicists of that era. So, of course, anything we do is always comes with this little footnote that, well, maybe this is the wrong way to do it, and that the aliens will be communicating in a completely different manner. But that depends on the physics. In the end, you can only do what the physics allows you to do. And if you say, well, they've got subspace communication, which they always have on Star Trek, you know, if you go to the Stanford library here, you and look up subspace communication, you don't find anything except in fiction books. So you can't build any equipment for subspace communication if you don't have the physics behind it. So we do the best we can. We use the physics we know, which says, well, communicating by radio or lasers or something like some other form of electromagnetic communication is probably the most efficient way to send bits of information around the galaxy.
Okay, and also, of course, the United States government has been releasing videotapes of encounters with UFOs, where we now have the metrics by which, frame by frame, we can actually analyze what these objects are doing, and these objects seem to be, well, who knows, extraterrestrial. So what are your thoughts, because you must get a ton of email about from people that claim that, yes, they're not out there in outer space, the aliens are here in our backyard. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, if they were here, that would certainly change my daily job description, I think. And you're right, it would actually be maybe job security for me, because if they're nearby, then you'd think it'd be much, much easier to find them and maybe even communicate with them in some way. But all the information that we've seen, all the data that we've seen that suggests that maybe, you know, aliens are cruising our skies are all very controversial. The latest Navy videos, you know, maybe that's an alien spacecraft in the middle of the field in this infrared gunsight camera. Or maybe it's an internal reflection in the camera, or it's a twin-engine jet a couple of miles ahead of the Navy jet, and the infrared camera just shows it as a peanut, you know, on the screen. I mean, there are many other explanations. And unfortunately, that means you cannot say with any conviction, yep, those are aliens, because it might not be aliens, and this is too important a question to take sort of, you know, wishy-washy evidence, which I think it is, and say we've found the aliens.
And, of course, there's the famous Fermi paradox that if they're out there and they've been buzzing our airplanes or what have you, then why don't they simply visit us? I mean, if the galaxy is teeming with advanced civilizations, then why don't we bump into them? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you mentioned the South American societies that were actually quite old and quite advanced at the time that the Spaniards began, you know, sending ships to Mexico and to South America. And, you know, they might have collapsed, but there was no way to keep that information secret. You couldn't go to, you know, Montezuma himself and say, look, Mont, or Monty, or whatever they call him. You know, you really can't tell the public about this stuff. You got to keep all the information secret because otherwise they'll riot in the streets. Well, I don't know whether they'd riot in the streets or not. I personally don't think they would, but in any case, there was no way to keep that quiet. So I think that if the aliens really are here, then the evidence for that would be very, very obvious and not just obvious to, you know, pilots working for the U.S. Navy. I mean, you know, all sorts of people should see them.
Okay. Well, let me tell you, let me ask you your comments about my spin on this whole question. I think that if they're that advanced, they would have digitized themselves thousands of years ago. They're immortal because their personalities, their memories are all digitized, and they can put their digitized soul on a laser beam and shoot it at the speed of light throughout the galaxy. And so if they land on the moon is only two seconds away. Mars is only 20 minutes away. The nearest star is 4 years away. They could colonize the galaxy at the speed of light. And what's on the moon? A mainframe computer that downloads their digitized essence into an avatar. And the avatar is superhuman, super handsome, super strong, whatever, and can then begin the process of building a civilization on whatever moon, whatever planet, whatever atmosphere, whatever gravitational field, because they are avatars. Avatars with the memory, the digitized memory and personality of an alien civilization. So what are your thoughts about the fact that they can colonize the galaxy at the speed of light, and they could download themselves in avatars, in which case they could assume any form they want? What are your thoughts? Because, of course, we have to open our eyes to the possibility that these aliens could be millions of years ahead of us. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I happen to agree with a lot of that. I think that the only difficulty is having that supercomputer on the moon to receive this information and then to, you know, either build it, as it were, build those aliens represented only by a string of bits being sent from one place to another, you know, sort of reconstruct them into something. That requires, you know, getting that machinery somehow to the moon. So there's a problem there. But I certainly agree with the whole premise that, you know, in the movies, whenever we see the aliens, they always have a lot of mucus and they're clearly biological. And when you think about what we're doing in this century ourselves in terms of machine intelligence, yeah, I think it's fairly reasonable to say that most of the advanced aliens are not biological.
Okay, so Seth, once again, thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic. And go to their website. What's the website of the SETI Institute?
It's just SETI.org.
Okay, there you have it. Once again, our special guest, Dr. Seth Shostak, Senior Astronomer at the SETI Institute. And this has been Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, and find out about my latest New York Times bestseller, The God Equation.
Now, now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.